What's up, everybody? It is Thursday, right before 7 a.m. And I wanted to share with you and do something to push myself outside my comfort zone today. So I will be recording the story of Davidson Hang, and I'm going to share it to the public. And yeah, hope you guys enjoy. So the reason why I wanted to do this is because I committed in my bi-weekly accountability group that I will be creating a autobiography. And I think this would be a good baseline. So yeah, would love to share with you my stories. I think, you know, anytime we put ourselves out there and every time I share myself, I feel more authentic and the more vulnerable I am, the more I feel like I'm making an impact and a difference, because I think often we're our own worst critic. So yeah, let's start from the beginning. So I only recently was curious enough to actually like really dig deeper and actually question like my origins, like, you know, what happened with my mom, like how did she come over here from Vietnam and all that. So would love to share with you a little bit about how my mom came to America. So my mom and my grandma grew up in, and my uncle grew up in Saigon in Vietnam. And she tried to escape a bunch of times, and she did this through determination, and she was a refugee, right? So she what they would do is they would work. So my grandma had a restaurant where they would sell pho and soup and things like that in the middle of the main street of the downtown area. And my grandpa died at a pretty young age. I think my mom was like 10 or 11 or something like that. But essentially she didn't have a father growing up, so I think that had a huge influence in her life. So I think she said they tried 3 or 4 times. And every time they would save up gold and they would get caught by the government. So they would take all their money and she would have to start over from scratch. So growing up, there wasn't a lot of abundance. There was a lot of abundance of love in the sense that my grandma like did the best she could to take care of my uncle and my mom. But there wasn't a lot of like material wealth and things like that. So I think that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of Vietnamese people that are first generation tend to gravitate towards more of like the materialistic things, which took me a while to understand because I was never, you know, out of the 5 love languages, gifts of appreciation was always the last thing. And the physical gifts, I just never really understood. But anyways, so she came into the country finally after being on a boat where, you know, there was a lot of hardships. A lot of people died on it. From what I hear, there are a lot of the boats that have gone out. People have been raped and murdered and just all kinds of crazy stuff. So, so growing up, I would say it was tough, right? I feel like there's people that make a lot of stories out of the things that have happened to me. Me being like a pretty emotional human being, I feel like I grew up with like a lot of anger, and it's hard to tell, right? A lot of people that meet me would be like, "What? I would never be able to tell," because I think I've transformed a lot since then. But I think like growing up, so we moved around a lot. I think I'm 32 years old. I think I lived in like 26. Probably more, actually, maybe 28 different places since I grew up. So there wasn't a lot of stability. And that was an interesting experience for me. I noticed like one of the things I've always sought was a sense of belonging. I remember at a young age, I went to this a private school called New Avenue School in California. And I felt like I was the only me and Kin Thai, this other guy, were the only 2 Vietnamese guys in the whole school, like all Chinese school. So being the stubborn person that I am, I chose not to learn Chinese, even though that was offered as an option, as an after-school program at New Avenue. So I did that. And I think that was like the first time where I did this program called Landmark, where you dig into your past and you try to figure out like your winning strategies. In the program, you learn that every human being has moments that have affected who they are and have essentially, like, it's good, like it gets you so far, but it's not great because it's something that can affect you for the rest of your life. So in the program, and this is in a conjunction with accomplishment coaching as well, which is this year-long self-discovery leadership and coaching program. I'll talk more about that later. But essentially, I realized that my whole life, like, I've been trying to like fit in, trying to like, I think that's why I have close to 13,000 LinkedIn connections. That's why I work at a company like LinkedIn, where it's all about building relationships and networking and making an impact in the world. But anyways, so New Avenue, I did that from third grade into, I think, like fifth grade. But I remember, so I got held back. I transitioned from public school into private school, and doing that was a huge transition for me. And the intensity of the courses from going from public to private was tough. So I got held back, and that really messed me up, actually. Like, that actually, I think that's why I do things like the 1000 book journey. That's why I've been career focused for the last like 5 years. I've been like hustling and working my way up and networking, attending over 1000 networking events, seminars, and things like that. So that, having that awareness is helpful, because I can let it propel me if I want to, like if I really need to like buckle down and just like hustle my way and just work harder than everyone else, I can. But I realized like it's not a sustainable thing. Like, it's something that has gotten me this far, but I noticed like when there's ease and grace, and when there's presence and just stopping down, reflecting, being a little bit more intentional about things, it's much more beneficial than just going 100 miles an hour. Because when you do that and you don't have a clear direction, then I could be somewhere I don't want to be. So it's good to have that awareness. So I also wanted to share with you, so what happened after that is I moved back to New Jersey, and I went to a school called Claire Barton, which is in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, which is like a relatively like middle upper class, you know, pretty affluent area of, you know, compared to the rest of the world, right? I did live in an apartment that was, you know, more like a government assistance in terms of like we got food stamps, we had free lunches or reduced lunches in school. So that, I remember like being really embarrassed about that, because I was like, oh, like why do my friends and my peers have shore houses and have all these nice things, or have a dad even, you know? So growing up in middle school, I was like pretty typical nerd in terms of like, I played a lot of video games. I was always good at video games, crushing the Maple Story, the RuneScape, and the StarCraft game, and Diablo. So definitely got a lot of joy out of doing a lot of video games. And so my middle school was interesting. I realized like that's when I really wanted to fit in, right? So I remember I actually left a group of friends to try to hang out with the more like popular kids. And that was when I noticed that like being a chameleon is cool. Actually, I didn't really notice at the time, but I do realize that it was like a superpower, but then it was also bad, because I always felt I never really like truly understood like who I was, like my identity. Like, it was always shifting depending on who I was with. So I realized like that's like a superpower, but it's also, you know, I'm not being authentic. So something interesting to notice. Anyways, so around seventh grade, I had this shift where I started to care more about my appearances, where like I started like gelling my hair, which clearly I don't do now, especially in the winter time, like, nah, yeah. So I think there's something that's important about acceptance, like accepting who you are, but then still like don't let it be to the point where like I'm like a slob, right? I think obviously I'm not at that point where like it's like, all right, Davidson, like you gotta at least care a little bit about your appearance. So I do put in effort, but I wouldn't say as much effort as I did when I was younger. So in middle school, around seventh grade until high school, that's when I noticed a shift, a transition into just like trying everything, being involved with everything. Like I was always involved with the Asian Culture Club. I was sort of the class clown in some of the classes. I was involved with everyone from like from the theater and the choir folks to hanging out with the football players to hanging out with the Asians, having board game nights, and just being involved with like everywhere in school, cross country, track, bowling, winter track. You know, I would like play volleyball with my friends. I would hang after school. Like I would basically do everything I could to not have to stay home. And it was interesting. And I always had trouble like sleeping. Like growing up, I think I would like sleep at like 1 or 2 o'clock. There was always like a billion things running through my mind. And that hasn't stopped that much. It's gotten a little bit better, but even last night, like I couldn't sleep. We had a performance reviews yesterday. And I think I could have done a better job in presenting myself. Like, honestly, I just didn't put too much time into it because, like, I'm just like, yeah, like, I've only been here for 6 months. Like, what's the big deal? But I should have put more time into that. I think I could have presented myself in terms of, like, the leadership and results and actually, like, everything. I think I could have done a better job. But at least now I know that going in, I can get support and have a little bit more guidance into that process. So, in high school, it was interesting because like looking back at it, I think I was being a little bit too hard on myself. Like I took a lot of the international baccalaureate program courses, honors and AP. So I took the highest courses, but because I was in the highest courses, I wasn't one of the top performers. And to be honest, like I didn't really study or put in that much effort or time into my studies. It was more the extracurriculars, which has gotten me pretty far and has reflecting on it, I could see how that's impacted my life. And we'll go more into that later. So high school was an interesting time. I'm glad one of the coolest things I did was I would reach back out to all of my teachers after the fact, whether it's like as a professional or in college, and give them thanks into the things I've learned about their courses and just having that curiosity mindset and things like that. So I'm glad I got that out of school. And I would say college was an interesting time because I felt like it was a time where I really flourished in terms of like building relationships. And I joined a fraternity called Pi Delta Psi. Today actually is our anniversary. I believe it's the 25th year anniversary. Don't kill me and don't quote me on that. But it's a milestone for us. It's been super excited to be involved with the fraternity. So being an Asian American, I always felt like I wasn't able to get along with like a lot of the Asians because there wasn't a lot of Vietnamese people. You know, there's more Chinese people. That's more common, especially in Cherry Hill. And just the bulk and the majority of Asians in America are Chinese, right? Like just looking at the numbers. And I don't speak Chinese, so wasn't accepted by them. And a lot of, you know, Caucasians and white people like sometimes like would make fun of me for just having stinky Asian foods or whatever the case may be, right? I think part of it is growing up poor, so I just felt different. But looking back at it, I think like I was actually accepted. I just did not see it. You know, when you're a teenager, you have all these like emotions and moving and growing up, like not having a lot of material wealth has definitely impacted my story there. But anyways, in college, I would work really hard. I would like work so many different jobs to pay for college and to pay for vacation, things like that. You know, I wouldn't say it was like I was this broke ass, you know, guy, but I guess like in terms of like comparing myself to other families that have actually have a house, own a house or, you know, don't rent or it just seemed like people had a lot more stability growing up. So in college was an interesting experience. Definitely had a lot of fun. We partied a lot, drank a lot, as do most college students. So after I graduated from college, I had a lot of different jobs, and it was interesting. Like I really enjoyed a lot of the jobs I had. It was interesting because I would jump from job to job, and I'm grateful for it now. But there was the whole story, the whole theme of belonging again, where I was like, huh, like looking back at it, I think all of my jobs and all of my coworkers and my managers did accept me. But I was always like looking for that, like the perfect job, right? And I don't think there's such a thing as the perfect job. I think LinkedIn is a job where I really, really enjoy. I wouldn't say it's perfect, but it's pretty friggin' awesome here. So I worked at a company called Bounty Jobs. Well, all right, let's start from the beginning. So I worked at a company called SHI, which got me into the world of tech, which I'm so grateful for, because I think tech companies tend to have one of the best cultures around. And at SHI, I think it was like 500 people in the office. So it's a pretty big office. But even in that office, like I noticed, like I was always like making so many friends, and I attended all the lunch and learns, and it was always hard for me to sit still, right? I was definitely, in a way, that started my mayorship. I think maybe that started even in high school. But in SHI, I really noticed it like paying off, where I was like friends with everyone. Like I would play basketball with the guys. I would go to the gym. I would attend like the Semantic, the Adobe, the Microsoft, basically every lunch and learn, right? So I was always like the guy that knew everyone. But for the most part, it was mostly like surface level conversations. Like only a handful of people, like John Mundell and Lauren Mink and Kelly Walk, that I was like truly authentic. I was truly like deep into my stuff. But so after that, I worked at a company called Bounty Jobs, which is my first like startup experience. And that was really cool to be able to, I worked at Yelp before that. I wasn't there for very long. And I was going through some, I would say like depression and some tough things in my life. So not the best. I wasn't at the most stable mindset, but it was cool. Like Yelp, like working for a company that paid 100% of your benefits and had happy hours, and it was like a college all over again. So thank you for that experience. Thank you, Russell Teeter, for helping me see how amazing of a salesperson I am. Remember crushing, being able to book as many meetings as possible. Had some success during my short stint there. But Bounty Jobs, I really, really enjoyed the people. Like I became friends with Brandon Belcher, who is this hilarious guy who really helped me see how great I was and how good I was at. I think the feedback I got from the people there was that I always like took the time to really get to know people. So I would like walk over and just like start asking questions and just like start talking to people about their lives for like 20 minutes, 15, 5, 10 minutes. But I did that every day consistently. So that was really cool. They called me Dr. Davidson, which was funny. I enjoyed that. But I think the feedback was that I effortlessly like built relationships, and I was like pretty good. I was definitely the top performer there, being the first SDR, and then them hiring SDRs after me and model my success there. So after that, I did this like weird stint in Jersey where I worked for like a small recruiting agency because I wanted to learn more about the world of recruiting, and I was like really interested about talent acquisition and things like that. So that was an interesting time where I hired my first coach. So thank you, Chris Wong, for posting that and about your IPEC journey. And that really like opened up Pandora's box, where I was like, holy shit. Like I started digging really deep into my self-development and really diving deep into who is Davidson, what makes me happy, started creating my mission statement about who I am for the world, like inspiring others and to be vulnerable and to do things like this. So that kind of piqued my interest and gave me that idea of doing things like this. And then I met Thomas Wang, who was like more like go, 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 like having a checklist, like just being very like goal oriented. And that helped me with creating like a vision board and create a lot of the things that I'm doing now, like my YouTube channel and creating my podcast that you guys are listening to right now. And so after that, that kind of got me on this journey of just like being more into self-development. And I met this girl named Jocelyn Yeager, who got me into accomplishment coaching. And oh my God, that was amazing. That was one of the craziest years of my life, where it was like really digging deep, where like I started looking at my relationship to my mom and started really appreciating her. And then when my family came out to accomplishment coaching, I cried so much, like a whole family cried. My mom cried a lot, which was beautiful. So really appreciate you, Mom. I love you. I'm sorry if I made you cry, but I'm glad we're having these like deep, authentic conversations now. So thank you so much, Mom. I love you. And that was like, oh my God, like I feel like my life exponentially grew from there, where I started doing this program called Landmark, which boom, like opened up even more, where I started getting involved with the Orphans Futures Alliance, started doing all these amazing things. And then once I healed different chapters of my life and I forgave my best friend at the time, who was addicted to, had his vices. So after I forgave him, like I was able to move on. And then I was able to like finally forgive my father, which was huge. And then when he came into the LinkedIn office and saw my wonderful coworkers, like that healed a huge, huge hole in my life of my story of being independent, where I didn't need anybody. But that's all a lie. That's all bullshit. Like, I actually do really need you guys, and I really do appreciate you guys, and you guys give me oxygen to be able to do all the amazing things that I'm up to building schools in Africa, to helping orphans, raising money for orphans in Vietnam, to now the latest things I'm up to is breaking the bamboo ceiling. So doing that has been amazing. And now, like, I can't even imagine this, honestly. Like, if you were to tell me that I'm going to be partnering with IBA, like the Asian Employee Resource Groups in at Google and IBM and Salesforce and Amazon, I'd be like, you're crazy. Like, not this guy leading a company of amazing people, like being the leader that I am today. Like, sometimes I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I think every day, like, I'm super uncomfortable, where I'm like, is this possible? Is this possible? But then afterwards, I'm like, oh shit, like, this is awesome. Like, yesterday, I was able to be vulnerable and speak and be so active in Toastmasters, and then actually holding others accountable to Toastmasters. Like, what? This is Davidson? Like, that's amazing. I can't believe I've grown to this cool guy where I just proposed to my girlfriend or my fiance, Sammy, where I remember at one point I was like, I would never get married. Like, it's not for me. Or I'd be like, oh, like rich people get to travel the world. Like, I don't get to do that, where I'm going to all these cool places. You know, never did I think I'd be going to Malawi in Africa to build schools, right? It's like, who am I now? But it's cool at the same time, because being vulnerable, doing things like this, writing my own book, are like things I would never think I would ever be able to do. Creating a YouTube channel, I was voted most reserved in the yearbook at Clara Barton School. Like, just crazy, right? I just can't even. It's so weird. It's so weird right now. But I do think when I do get on stage and I'm at Landmark and I'm speaking in front of like 250 people for an Introduction Leaders program with all these other amazing people sharing things like, I'm going to create my own foundation one day. I'm going to create a life insurance policy where I'll donate $5 million to my favorite charity, right? Like, all these cool things I'm creating with people, it's just amazing. It's just beautiful. So I'll wrap it up. I have 5 minutes left. I'll wrap it up by saying that I really appreciate all you guys. I appreciate every single person has texted me, the 1,500 people that have liked my proposal pictures, my videos, came in. Thank you for supporting me, creating these YouTube channels, creating these YouTube videos. And thank you, Carter Perk, for hiring me into this amazing company called LinkedIn, where I get to be fully self-expressed while making enough money where I can travel to Charleston and travel to Italy this year and then go to Japan for our honeymoon and to go to Hong Kong for our wedding. Like just beautiful. So thank you all. Thank you all for your support. Would love any feedback. Would love any comments, what you enjoyed, what your takeaways were from this, what you didn't like about it. I'm cool now where if people give me constructive feedback, I'm not going to cry about it, which I used to do. I could take it now and be able to thank you for the feedback. Thank you for your opinions and your perspective on things. And cheers. I will be creating much more regular as I get into this office at 6 something a.m. every day to be creating more podcast videos and updating you all on my blog. Cheers.